Namaste. So we take up some of the metaphysical cosmology of Sri Aurobindo. So basically it means that the world view or the way of understanding the world through a certain angle of approach. For instance, a materialist cosmology will relate only to the material vision of things. Spiritual cosmology will mean the spiritual vision of things. So we can do it in many ways. One is we can take man as a starting point, go up and down. Other is we can take it from the way things are evolving. But let's touch straight away the true way, which is how things are what they are today, and where do they begin, how do they proceed. So it is very evident that there has to be a source and an origin, and both logically, common sense wise, this source cannot be many sources, each one having this origin, another person, my origin is something else, your origin is something else, material world is something else. So the source and origin, this source and origin of all things is what is called as the supreme. Sri Aurobindo has used the word divine rather than God. Let's first understand that part. So here we can use the word supreme divine. And why he has not used the word God? Because God carries a certain specific connotation in our, in literature, spiritual and religious literature. So they have tried to avoid that term, but God will come in at some point of time. So there is the supreme reality, supreme divine, call it whatever. Now if whatever is there in this universe has to come from that supreme reality, so we can safely assume that that supreme reality, since we all exist, the world exists in some way or the other, whether it, you can resolve it into non-existence, we'll come to that. But there is existence. So we can say that that supreme reality also exists. Okay, so then there is consciousness in this world. That means knowledge and power which is operating all around in creation, from atom to man to gods, in some way or the other. So we can say that reality is also consciousness. And there is Ananda. So these are the three fundamental triune realities. So there is the supreme reality, of which in its ultimate sense nothing can be said. It is neti neti. Why? Because there is nothing within our framework which can actually describe it. Because whenever we describe something, we have to use a framework. Nothing corresponds to that reality which can come within the framework of the mind. But mind itself, as the Kena Upanishad says, can be understood by that. Because everything here owes itself to that. So we can understand it by a number of examples, metaphors. The baby in the womb doesn't understand the mother, but the mother understands the baby. This is like, at least she knows that this baby is my child and is kicking, and you know, she, even though you can look at it very materially, so not going into all that detail, that supreme reality is something of which nothing can be said. You can't say it is, you can't say it is not, you can't say it is day, it bright, you can't say it is dark, because none of this has come into existence as of now. So some people try to use a word non-existence for it, asad. But actually this non-existence simply means there is nothing which corresponds within the framework of existence with which we can define it. So this is the absolute. So this is the first absolute. That's supreme. We can just use the word supreme, whatever name you want to call it. Now that supreme, if you come to defining it. So the mystics had both these experiences simultaneously. One was that it is a something which is indefinable, ineffable, because the mind enters into that state where all definitions, all limits, all fall off. And all definitions by nature is to limit. So you can equally say everything is that, or you can equally say nothing is that. It is called, there is a very beautiful word in Indian thought. It is Tat. That. Om Tat Sat. So first absolute is Tat. That. The second absolute is Sat. It is the only reality. So it is Sat. And all other realities derive from that. And this Sat is Sat because it holds within itself all the power to create Ananda, everything. So it is also known as Sat Purush, you want to call it. So that is Sat. So there is Tat, first absolute. First, second is a way of saying it all exists simultaneously. The second absolute is Sat. The third absolute is Aditi. Aditi is indivisible consciousness. So this Sat is not a finite something. It is infinite. And it holds within itself various possibilities, numerous infinite possibilities. So the third is Aditi, or the Divine Mother, who will bring out of this Sat all that is held within it. So what does she do? For the sake of, now she has to bring out, she moves Sat to create, or rather impels him. Him, it, these are again human terminologies. So what she does, she brings out of Sat. What does she bring out of Sat? She brings out now Sachidanand, which is unmanifest. So these are the four absolutes, you can say. There is the Supreme, can't use any name, Tat. Then there is Sat. Then there is Aditi. And then there is Sachidanand, within whom everything is there. Now she has little more made it little clearer. Now Sachidanand has the fourfold Brahman, the fourfold states, Om, which describes all the states, all the possibilities. Everything is there within it. Its three poises, three aspects, we'll come to that later. So these are the four absolutes. And they are all equally, depending on which way you go, you will experience them. Then comes the manifestation. Now Sachidanand, holding everything inside, has to manifest. So in manifestation, there are two. Manifestation means bringing out what is inside. Like an artist paints a picture. Or a novelist writes a novel. So where is the novel? Within the heart of the novelist. Where is the painting? In the eye and the heart of the painter. So manifestation is to bring out what is there inherent inside. Who will bring out now? Now there will be the play of Parameshwari and Parameshwara. Together they will bring out. So, how they will bring out? First there are worlds of eternal manifestation. Eternal manifestation means they are not subject to time. They cannot be dissolved. So these manifestations are, because he is Sachidanand, there will be four planes or three planes. One is Satlok, that is the world of eternal manifestation. Then you will have Chitlok, Chit, Satchit, world of pure consciousness. And then you will have world of pure delight, Anandalok. Chitlok is also differentiated into two, because consciousness and force are one. We'll come to that a little later, maybe in second talk. Consciousness is not just knowledge watching over time. It is also power which effectuates what it sees and knows. It's true even in every human being. We talk of consciousness as an awareness, but awareness invariably brings within you the will to act or not to act, to react, to act in a certain way or not to act in a certain way. The two are together. So you also have some classifications described, Chidghan Lok and Tapolok. Tapolok is the world of pure force. So now these are eternal manifestations. They are not subject to dissolution. But that's not enough, because he's infinite. He wants to. Now creation has started. It's not going to stop. It is going to bring out everything possible inside it. So then comes manifestation in eternal time. Meaning thereby, it will. What is time? Time is where things take place successively. So this, in the higher eternal manifestation, things will not follow any particular order or sequence or way, nothing. They're there. Anytime anything can be put forward. It's like literally like a constant miracle if you want to put it from earthly point of view. But then there is a eternal manifestation in time. So time and space have to be born. So first there will be boundless space and endless time. So this manifestation, eternal manifestation in time is known as Maharlok or the supermind. That's where manifestation is beginning to take place in terms of, it is still a true manifestation, it's still a eternal manifestation, but it is taking place in a way that is successive. Now time and space, some rudiment, no, rudimentary is not the right word, but let's say a kind of conception, idea of space and time is born. Let me put it like that. Idea, that's why supermind is the real idea. Idea of space, idea of time. But space and time will follow later. But idea of space and idea of time are already there. And since this manifestation is to create many out of the one, with a plan of unity in diversity, a supermind itself or Maharlok itself differentiates into three particular layers. It is because of supermind that even the many eternal manifestation can be differentiated as Tapolok, Chidghanlok, Satlok, Anandlok, because that is the power inherent in the one that he can differentiate. So supermind's purpose is to start differentiating but not dividing. This we have to understand. It differentiates. So Satlok, Chidghanlok. How does it differentiate? By simply, because supermind, everything is there even in supermind. It puts back certain things and puts forward in the front. How do we differentiate ourselves when we are practicing medicine? We are a doctor. When we have an injury, we are a patient. When we are at home, we are a father or husband. So what we are doing? We are putting forth one aspect, holding back the other. In supermind, when it puts forward one aspect or the other, holds back the other, it's fully aware of what is being held back and what is being put forward. So that's how differentiation starts. So the first layer of supermind is that in which all the possibilities have come, but now they have to be realized in the play of space and time. They're just the idea of space and time has come. Then the second layer, now comes the plan of ekoham bahushyam, one wanted to become many. So what does supermind does? In that one infinite consciousness, infinite existence, infinite ananda, call it whatever, infinite Satchidananda, it differentiates multiple points of concentrations. It's like when you have a pain, wrong example, but you say, I am having a pain here, 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 I have a knot here, I have a knot there. Now what is happening is, it's still the same eye, but there are several points where consciousness is specifically getting concentrated. Is that fine? So within the one infinite, there are several points of concentration which have come up. This is the origin of Jivatma in this second layer of the supermind. In the first layer, Jivatma is there, but behind, oneness is predominant. In the second layer, you have predominantly, or rather there is oneness and the multiplicity, means all the jivatmas, meaning thereby our origin is there. And then, but as I said, creation is impelled by the divine shakti, it is endless, so it won't stop there, so it takes it to the next level. In the third layer of the supermind, each of the jivatmas, it puts in or charges it or enters into it with the real idea that this is going to be, like you can imagine, this seed will develop into this tree, this plant will develop into this plant. So that way there is the real idea, through the real idea, each jivatma is meant to ultimately represent, through long process of time, the real idea which is inbuilt within it. It's like a programming chip, if you want to put it. It is programmed, it is going to ultimately, through long process of evolution. So this jivatma is that status where it has not fallen into the lower nature. But how will it manifest unless it experiences? There has to be a process of growth. Here it is already there, self-evident. So it has to grow, to bring out, because it's all about manifestation. So supermind, three layers. First layer where oneness is prominent. Second layer where the oneness and multiplicity both are there. Third layer where the multiplicity is prominent and oneness is in the background. Then when it stays, okay, now manifestation in time will begin. Up till now it is in eternal time. Now it will begin in terms of time and space proper. Oh, you know, they are all these jivatmas and are all that is there, possibility is going to emerge. So the first step that takes place is the overmind gnosis, where overmind receives all these possibilities within itself and it starts creating worlds out of each. So each aspect of the divine, four aspects we have already talked about, each of them will build a world. But now what happens, differentiation is there, but if each world has to be created, there is some degree of separation or the division, not division exactly, but a mild separation. It's like there are four kings, each of them have their own territory. And though they are very friendly with each other, they know each other that we are one. It's like five Pandavas were given five particular areas to govern. Though they are one, they all know that Draupadi is where we are united. They also know that Kunti is one where we are united. So it creates worlds. And these are the four, the same worlds which are higher up, they start getting reflected. The gods, the great gods. It is also called as the domain of the gods. But here the gods, though each god is now unique, still they keep some kind of background oneness. So the highest layer of overmind is where it is aware of oneness. Mahesh knows that, Shiva knows that Shiva and Vishnu are one god, and Vishnu and Brahma are one god. But for the purpose of creation, the differentiation has taken place. Next layer comes overmind maya. So there is the overmind gnosis, Shubhindu's terminology. And then comes the overmind maya. So that's where the Mahamaya, what she does now, each of these possibilities, each of these jivatmas or something of that jivatma, they will now enter and start gradually losing that oneness. Why should they lose it? Because that's how the play has to proceed. We can talk about it later. But when they begin to lose oneness, they enter into the realm of ignorance. Ignorance is basically the divisive, separative consciousness where we are not aware of the oneness. Oneness is always there, but it's behind. It's sort of forgotten. So there again, below the overmind, you have one plane where still it tries to keep that oneness, but now it's very difficult. That's the intuitive mind. So in the intuitive mind, there is that oneness, but it is gradually, it's going more into the background. And more the gods of the intuitive mind, they are acting as if they are not exactly independent reality, but sort of differentiation is becoming more and more prominent. And then after the intuitive mind, you have the higher mind. It's different layers, illumined mind, higher mind. Then comes the human mind. Human mind is where it is lost. That's why it's called as mind of ignorance. So human mind, as it has evolved thus far, has three layers. The rational mind, which is our highest. Below the rational mind is the vital mind, which means the mind of the animal. And below it is the physical mind, which is, means the mind of purely, which is operating mechanically in everything. So physical mind is that mind which is like a mechanical gramophone is playing around. What does it do? It binds us to groups of habit. Vital mind is the mind of the bird and beast. It has its own gati, jumps from here to there. Sometimes it can throw a fork in darkness and hit the jackpot. Sometimes it will miss. vital mind, that's why it is a mind which imagines, which, you know, because that's how human beings can fly. So it's the mind which imagines things, conceives things, and rational mind clips the wings. No, not that far. So rational mind orders, organizes, formulates. It is not a mind of knowledge, rational mind, but it formulates all the data it receives from the senses and the life impulse, as well as the data it receives from something beyond it. So its task is to formulate and organize it, whatever it receives. That's its job description. Very rarely it receives from above. Mostly it analyzes the data it receives through the senses. And then it must organize, classify, etc. Now this is manifestation is called as temporal manifestation. Everything which goes into higher mind and below becomes a temporal manifestation. No more eternal. Meaning thereby it is constantly changing. It is subject to time. It's also known as Martyalok. Why? Because it is subject to time, therefore it is transitory. Therefore it will be here today, it will not be there tomorrow. It has truth, but a temporary truth. So that's why it is said all things that we experience are transitory. It's true. But why it is transitory? Because it becomes, the moment you enter into that ignorance, it means there is a work going on. What is that work? We can talk about it later. So from the mind, it enters into the Pranalok. Pranalok means, now these worlds, lower worlds or temporal manifestation has to derive something from the eternal, because there is no other material. So the supramental gnosis, that power of knowledge which is omniscient, omnipotent, that knowledge limits itself. That's what ignorance. Ignorance is limitation of that knowledge, that truth which is infinite, and becomes the human mind. What is human mind? It's a limited knowledge. That's why it's called as ignorance. Why it is ignorance? Because you know something, but you don't know everything. And without knowing everything, you can never understand anything in its totality. That's why there is confusion. We look at something and we think we know. And actually you have to know the totality. And you cannot know by any means when we are in the human mind. So it's a mind of ignorance. So this mind of ignorance is derived from the supermind. How? By limiting itself. That's what Maya does. So the overmind Maya limits. Now what is it doing? It is putting a cap. Beyond, in overmind gnosis, there is oneness. Supermind, there is complete knowledge of oneness and multiplicity. But because the Maya, limits it, is called as avidya maya. Avidya is oneness. So this mind is a mind of ignorance. Where does the life force comes in? What is the force of life? It wants to create, expand. It's never satisfied with where it is. It wants to go fly in mind, in through real time experiences. That's how life is. Where does it come from? From consciousness, chit, tapas. That is the power. So life seeks power. Life wants to create. Why? Because it derived from chittapas. So something of that is seen in life as a shadow play. Limited chittapas becomes life here. Where does material world comes from? From one existence. Nowhere else. So the same Sachidanand is shadowed in the worlds of ignorance. And because behind the shadow is the reality. That's how we describe this universe. That there is the supreme reality. It has to be everywhere. But it is covered with ignorance. But because even in ignorance, it derives from that, it is constantly searching for that infinite. That's why human beings are never satisfied, which is a great blessing of the grace. The most difficult people, or most, you know, those who are satisfied with that limited existence. But we try to bring infinity or recapture infinity by the ways of ignorance, because we are not yet ready for the direct experience. What is the way of the ignorance? Through desire. So what is the way of desire? It expands little by little, little by little. If I have this, I'll be happy. You have it then. No, this not it. Then you go to another, something more, better. So what are you doing? You are trying to upgrade the illusion. expanding it. And nature is leading us. When the illusion collapses, you feel, oh, mera sundar sapna toot gaya. But see, wait for some time, another sapna will come up, another dream will come. You think, ah, I got it now. Then again, this is how nature prepares whom? For that grand disclosure, because that supreme reality is beyond anything we can even conceive of. So that is the game plan. Does it go below matter? Yes, because once it starts creating, it won't stop. Where does it stop? It stops into completely state of total self-oblivion, total self-loss, where it seems there is no consciousness, no existence, no bliss. But because it is, because that itself has gone into this, therefore consciousness is still there but forgetful of itself. Force is still there but it is forgetful of itself. Ananda is still there but forgetful of itself. So that state is called as inconscient, in which there is complete a state of feeling of non-existence, feeling of powerlessness, complete absence of knowledge, no ananda. It has become its opposite, from where the evolutionary journey begins, and it will take the same steps through which it has entered into. What happens to the poor jivatma? Jivatma also suffers the fall. That is the basis, individual basis of manifestation. It also enters into that inconscient state, from which it begins to recover itself, even in material object. But in material objects, it is there only as a hidden. You can use the word as the spirit of things. That's all. There is nothing like an individual soul, but is there like a little tiny spark. Then in higher beings, in plants also, it begins to become aware. But in the higher beings, animals, that jivatma begins to become little more crystallized. That's why these animals like horse, cows, where you see that little bit of that spark is beginning to become aware. Elephant, you don't kill or cut or eat. You're not supposed to do that, because it is now beginning to become conscious in an individual. Otherwise, in the animal world, this jivatma is largely one jivatma, little spark is enough to govern a whole species. Then with man, it begins to become more and more individualized. So man himself will pass through material man, vital man, mental man, higher. The more we climb, this jivatma becomes more and more conscious and more crystallized. Then comes a time when it says, oh, where am I? Who am I? Where is my origin? It turns upwards and it discovers its origin is in the divine. But in the beginning, it has three kinds of connect with the origin. One is, I am here, that is there. The two can never meet, except that I can merge and dissolve. Why this is so? Because of the third layer of supermind, where multiplicity is prominent and oneness is behind. Its shadow falls upon the mind and it conceives. That's how you see certain religions, which are called a dualistic. Then there comes another more evolved. It says, well, me and that are one. But still there is this and that. But this is for the purpose, like the wave and the sea. So you have another kind of spiritual experience, all taking place within the mind because of the reflection of a higher layer of supermind, where you know that you are a wave or a portion. Then you go. You see, the second one is in that term, that Purusha there and this Purusha here, they are one. Then you go to the third layer, where you say, so ham asmi, I am that. So all these three experiences the soul can have, and depending on what door it goes through, it will make a whole philosophy or everything out of it. And you will make a cult, religion, different religions. Because in the mind you are seeing the reflection. But if you enter the supermind, you will have all these experiences simultaneously. Then only you can heal the antagonisms of cults and religions. Because you will say, this is also true, but a partial truth. This too is true, but a partial truth. That too is true, but a partial truth. This too is true, but a partial truth. Where is the grand reconciliation? In the supermind. That's why if we want to be freed from all the divisions that right now are like our operating systems, then we have to embody the supramental consciousness. In the mind, you can have divine realization, because everywhere there is divine, everywhere, and wherever there is divine, there is everything. So that's why sometimes map representations are very poor. Why? Because supermind is also in matter involved. Why? Because divine is there. So that one reality is everywhere. And wherever that one reality is there, everything is there. Satchidanand is there, Aditi is there, everything is there. Supermind is there, everything is there, but involved. So in the course of evolution, because it is involved, it has to evolve supermind after the mind. It is only when man evolves out of the mind into the supermind that we can heal all the divisions. My religion, your religion, this cult, that this sect, that sect. That's why Sri Aurobindo's is not a new religion, not a new cult, not a new teaching in opposition to others, but the grand reconciliation of all that has been discovered, experienced, realized, plus one step more in which they are all reconciled. That is the next step, supermind. Short of supermind, we can experience the divine, but we will not be able to reconcile with the multiplicity of the world. With the supermind, we can reconcile and understand the multiplicity of the world. Now, supermind is a very different subject. I am not touching upon it. It's been taken up in detail in classes on the life divine, either recent classes. So I can only refer it to that. But supermind is the link between Satchidanand and this manifestation. Supermind belongs to the higher manifestation, and we'll come to that in the next talk. Namaste.